All right, Ephesians chapter 2 again. Ephesians chapter 2, and let me just read these three verses, Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, where the Apostle Paul says, "For by grace are you saved," and let us take note of that again this morning, "For by grace are you saved."
Amen.
There are other places that the Scripture may use the phrase, but here Paul does not. It is not, "For by faith are you saved."
Exactly.
That's not what he says here. And when he says by faith, anytime he talks about salvation by faith, it means it in its proper context.
Yes. Exactly.
Here the Apostle Paul says, "For by grace are you saved," because grace is the fountain from which salvation flows.
Amen.
It is, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves," that is the grace, the salvation, or the faith. "That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And when the Scripture, when Paul says this here, he means it is freely bestowed without any reason from the recipient of the bestowing.
Exactly.
That is, the person who receives the gift gets the gift freely without any action on their part whatsoever. Now, as I've said before, most people who profess to be Christians, and I say most because of our Lord's example, there are many on the Broadway, and these are people who profess faith in Christ. That's the context there. And the many are on the Broadway, but there is a straight and narrow way, and there are few that be that find it. Many people actually teach what they believe is, "For by grace are you saved." No, "For by faith are you saved through grace."
Oh, yeah.
That is, they believe you either come up with faith, or you exercise faith, or you use your faith, or you come up with the right kind of faith, then God will give you grace. But this is not what the Scripture teaches. God must bestow grace before there will be any faith.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
That's it.
"For by grace are you saved through faith." And then it's, not as if. It is the Spirit of God showing us without question that this has nothing to do with us, because it is, "And that not of yourselves." It is the gift of God, not of works, not just good works. Because the Scripture is very precise. The Scripture may speak of works, but they may be evil works or good works. They may be sinful works. They may be a righteous work, as we say. But here is simply not of works. No works.
Exactly.
None whatsoever. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Why? Because God himself gets the glory.
Amen.
Period. For we are what? His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto not just works. But what? Good works.
Amen.
Now, God willing, later on we will look to some degree at this good works, because along with everything else, so-called Christian religion thinks many things to be good works which are not good works at all.
Exactly.
And sometimes the Scripture will present something as a good work, or I should say, sometimes the Scripture will present something as an evil work when men actually think it's a good work. I read it a couple weeks ago where the Apostle Paul said, "If I give all my goods to, bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and yet don't have what? Love."
Exactly.
I'm nothing.
Amen.
I'm nothing. Now, there is nothing in and of itself wrong with bestowing your goods upon the poor.
Yeah.
Unless you do it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
And then it becomes evil, David.
Yeah.
It becomes evil.
Yeah.
And let me say this, any work, no matter what it is, any work attempted to gain God's favor is an evil work.
Amen. Exactly.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not just that we should do them, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. And the word walk has to do with a way of life.
Yes.
A way of life. Sadly, again, most people think, well, I do some good works.
Yeah.
No, God's people have been foreordained to actually walk in good works.
Amen.
Now, going back, since I missed last Sunday, and we'll give you everything I gave you before. No, I'm just kidding with you. We're now talking about faith in particular. That is the wondrous language of faith, because it is for by grace are you saved through faith, and all of this is unto good works. Faith must be there first, because any work, remember that, apart from faith, what that which is not of faith is what? Sin. And I'll put it in today's religion's language. If you try to win someone's soul to Christ, and it's not done in faith, it's sin.
Exactly.
You see. But now I'm talking about the wondrous language of faith. And it is faith. If God gives you faith, you have this.
Yeah.
All of these things. And let me give you the list again. Faith looks at the unseen.
Yeah.
Faith longs for things hoped for.
Yes.
Faith touches the intangible. Faith lays hold of God's word and his promises. Faith submits to Christ as righteousness. Faith partakes of Christ. Faith fellowships in Christ. Faith is that which overcomes the world. Faith is reckoned. Faith walks. Faith frees from the schoolmaster. Faith stands. Faith is substance and evidence. And faith, if you have it as the gift of God, is those things in you right now, whether you fully realize it or not.
Exactly.
And as I've said before, and I want to reiterate this, even if you don't always see that in your faith, it's there.
Yes, sir.
It's there. Now, I've mentioned this. Faith looks at the unseen. And remember, Paul says we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. 2 Corinthians 4, mainly verses 13 through 18. That is, there are things that are invisible, things that are there. They're a reality. They're real. Just because something is invisible doesn't mean it's not real.
Exactly.
We have examples of that even in nature, with the wind. You don't see the wind. You can't see the wind. Even a tornado is not seen in its wind. It's seen in the debris that it picks up in the wind. You see, there are things that are real, but yet they're invisible. But let me go even further. Faith not only looks at the unseen. And it does. It looks at the unseen. But let me say, there are things that can be seen, but they're only seen by some.
Yes, sir.
Joe touched on it this morning, and I won't spend a lot of time on it. But let me just say this. There are people, thousands, probably millions of people who read this word. I have a translation of God's word before me, and there are millions of people who read this word, yet they cannot see it.
Exactly.
You know? Because Joe mentioned it. Because the things of the Spirit of God, to the natural man, they do not see them, and they also cannot see them.
Amen.
So faith looks at the unseen. But let me move on. Faith longs for things hoped for. And that's in Romans chapter 8, if you're following along. Romans chapter 8. And let me read that, and then I'll make some comments here. Verse 22, for the sake of time. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What is Paul talking about? He's talking about creation, all of it, everything, even the natural elements, even the animals.
That's right.
Everything groans under the condemnation of God.
Yes, sir.
Because when our daddy Adam sinned in the garden, God cursed everything.
Exactly.
For we know. Now we know it.
Yeah.
Most people don't.
You're right.
You see, there are people, as Joe said, there are people who read this book and people who preach from this book. They think that means everybody knows it and can know it because it's written right here. No, faith looks at the unseen. And this book is unseen by most people.
You're right.
Though it's right there before them, it's unseen. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only, and it says they, but that's all right, it doesn't hurt it. And not only that, what? But we ourselves, God's people, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or we, that would be added, that is to say, the redemption of the body. Why? Because I'm still in this sin-cursed body.
Exactly.
And that's why. And then what does he say? We are saved by what? Hope. But hope that is what? Seen. Now here, seen doesn't just mean to look at it with your eyes. It means realized.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about. We could read it this way. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is realized is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it?
Exactly.
Or hope for. Now, and then we must go ahead and read the next verse. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with what? Patience wait for it.
Amen.
Now the hope here, and in most places in the scripture, has nothing to do with a wish.
Yeah. You're right.
I often say, and I will use myself, I often say, I hope this happens, or I hope that happens. Yeah. And it's just a fanciful wish. It may not happen.
Exactly.
But this hope ain't on something that may or may not happen.
Sure.
This hope is based upon God Almighty said it, it's so.
Amen.
God said it will come to pass. It has not, maybe has not yet, but it will come to pass. Therefore, it will come to pass.
Amen.
The hope of Scripture is an earnest expectation based upon the oath and promise, or actually I should say, the promise and oath of God.
Amen.
Because there are not only things God promised, but there are some things when God promised it, He swore about it.
Yes, sir.
He swore about it. Somebody says you shouldn't swear. That's right, you shouldn't swear, and I shouldn't swear, but God can.
Yeah, amen.
Because God has the right and the ability to bring it to pass.
Amen.
Now this is the hope Paul's talking about. And as Tim James once said, if that hope's not realized, then God's not true.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
God's not. Then God would be the liar.
Yeah.
If that hope's not realized. Case in point. And there are some things that were promised and swore on that have come to pass.
Yes, sir.
Which are evident proof that God is true.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
For hundreds, if not a few thousand years, God Almighty promised the coming of the Messiah.
Amen.
And people with earnest expectation, what? Hoped for it.
Yes, sir.
And by patience, what? Waited for it.
Yeah.
But Joe, many didn't get to see it happen.
That's true.
Did they? But bless God, what did happen?
Amen.
He came.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ was born into this world.
Exactly.
And it actually happened. And the same is true with all of God's promises. You see, believing God is not accepting the facts. It's being fully persuaded that what God's promised, He's able to perform.
Amen.
That's what believing God is. It's not just accepting the facts. It's not, well, I believe like you believe. And what most people mean is I believe the same doctrines you believe.
Yeah.
Or I believe the same verses you believe. And the statement itself is not bad, but it's much more than that. Faith is not just believing facts. It is being fully persuaded. Now here's the question. Are you fully persuaded that what God said will come to pass will come to pass?
Exactly.
If you don't, then you don't have faith.
Amen.
That's true.
Right.
And that's just what it boils down to.
Yeah.
You may be very unstable about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You may be very unsure about your job.
Mm-hmm.
You're standing in it. You may be unsure about your marriage. You may be unsure about your children. But bless God, one thing that faith is sure about, if God promised it, it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And that's why I say faith even touches the intangible. Now, turn back to Hebrews now, chapter 6. And we get an idea of this, what I mean by this, when I say faith touches the intangible. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we speak thus. Mm-hmm. What's he talking about? He's basically talking about verses 1 through 8.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going into, but let me say this. Verses 1 through 8 are apostates. This is what this is talking about. Apostates. People who have gone so far, but it's all been by the flesh. That's what it's talking about. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we speak thus. And I say that. I say these are apostates because there's one word that for years I read here that I misunderstood. And let me find it here. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, naked. Okay, verse 6.
Yeah.
Now you read this, and usually in the KJV, they're pretty honest about adding something in. They will put it in italics. Yeah. Let me just say in bad English, that ain't always so. Because that first word of verse 6 is not there. It's not if. If makes it hypothetical. The if is not there in the Greek. It's they shall fall away. You know what fall away means, don't you? Apostatize. But Paul says, I'm writing about apostates, but what? But I'm persuaded better things about you.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, for God is not unrighteous to forget what? Your work. Now, again, let me emphasize, there are people who think that we're against work. We're not against work. We're not against labor. But we are against it when it comes to trying to gain righteousness or acceptance or justification before God.
Amen.
For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And remember what faith and love go together? You see, if you don't love what you believe, then why do you believe it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this don't make no sense. You know, if you don't have a union to it, you want to support it, you want to be a part of it, you want to be around it, then something's wrong with you. And if I ever get that way, then something's wrong with me. You see? Labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. That's one. What? In that ye, now look, in that ye have what? Ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, God's people care about one another. And it extends to more than just care. They actually try to help one another out.
Exactly.
And James actually speaks about that. You see a brother that's destitute, and you go by and give him one of these and say, God bless you, be you warmed and filled. What's that put in his belly?
Exactly.
What's that clothe his back, you see?
Yeah.
And look, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to full assurance of hope.
Yeah.
How far? All the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
All the way to the end. That ye be not slothful. Why does he say that ye be not slothful? Because we are so blessed prone to it.
Exactly.
That's why.
Yeah.
We get tired. That's why in one place he says that ye faint not.
Yeah.
Why? Because we get tired.
That's right.
That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There it is. Where they actually finally, David, get what God promised them.
Sir.
It's theirs. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he what? He swear by himself.
Amen.
You know, when you're little kids, some of us may have done this, some of us may not. I swear on my mommy and daddy's life.
Amen.
Well, we were idiots. But you know what I'm talking about. Well, I swear by this, I swear by that. Scripture says, what did God do? He swore by himself.
Exactly.
In other words, God said, Abraham, I promise you this, and I swear on it.
That's it.
Isn't it what he said?
Yeah.
I swear on it. We swear by himself, saying, what? I'm going to bless you.
Amen.
Is that what he said? He said much more than that, didn't he? He said, surely blessing, I will bless thee.
Amen.
Now do you see, it almost sounds like a redundancy, but it's not a redundancy. It's the true nature of cause and effect.
Yeah.
If I get a blessing, it's not because of anything I did, it's because God promised it and swore to do it.
Amen.
Period. In spite of me.
Yeah.
in spite of me. What did what was one of the first things Abraham tried to do after he heard this? Well, Sarah can't have a son. I'll help God out. And let us not think of ourselves as superior to Abraham. Because we do, on all too often, we try to do the very same thing. But did that thwart God's promise and oath? Did it? Now, it caused Abraham a whole lot of trouble. It caused him family trouble. His wife, in the end, although she was a party to it to start with, and I'm not just talking about wives, but that's the way we are.
Exactly.
We'll agree to something, then we realize how it didn't work out. Well, I don't want nothing to do with that.
Exactly.
Don't we? Oh. She was a party to it to start with. Mm-hmm. But what did she say? You cast out Hagar and the bond slave and his son, because he's not going to be heir with the free.
Exactly.
Who said that? Sarah did.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, it is nice to come to your right mind, even if you're wrong to start with.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
The problem's not in being wrong to start with, though it's a problem.
Yeah.
The problem is if you stay there.
Amen. Exactly.
That's the problem. But see, with God's people, since He's opened your eyes, even though sometimes we become slothful and our eyes become dim, He will still reopen our eyes,
yes,
as
right.
it were.
Amen.
But let me go on. For when God made promise, because He could swear by no greater, He swear by Himself, saying, "Surely blessing, I will bless thee." So we see here cause and effect. If God blesses me, it's because He promised to do so.
Yeah.
Period. That's what it's based upon, His promise, and God swore I'm going to do it. Therefore, it will be done.
Yeah.
That doesn't cause me to doubt God. It causes me to rest in God. Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, what happened? He obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. Now, what's that say? The immutability of His counsel. Now, here counsel doesn't mean advice.
No.
It means purpose.
Yeah.
The immutability of what God Almighty said He's going to do.
Exactly.
Willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the unchangeability of His purpose. What did he do? He confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. What's that? He promised it.
Yep.
And then he swore, I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
See, surely in blessing, I will bless you.
Yeah.
And in multiplying, I will multiply you. It's not I'm going to multiply. I'm going to kickstart it, and you got to keep it going.
Exactly.
Is that what he's doing? That's what a lot of people think. No, God does the kickstarting and the continuing all the way through.
Amen. That's right.
That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have what? Strong consolation. Let me put it this way. It's all right to doubt yourself.
Yeah.
But if you have a God-given faith, you don't doubt God.
Amen.
You don't doubt God. You might doubt what you think you understand about Him. You might doubt what you know, but faith doesn't doubt God. You might. That's why the one man cried out, "Lord, I believe." Why? Because he did. He wasn't pretending like he believed. He wasn't acting like he believed. And that's why what we'll look at when we look at faith is imputed.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to get into that because I can't go into that. He really believed. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Lord, I believe. Help thou. He didn't say, "Lord, but I'm going to work on my unbelief." Is that what he said? Even then, he said, "Lord, you help. Help thou my unbelief."
Amen.
So that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have what? Strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to what? Lay hold. Right? Isn't that what I said? I said faith. What did I say? Yeah, faith touches touches, even more, it lays hold of the intangible. Why do I say it's intangible? Look, fled for refuge to lay hold of the what? Hope. Hope set before us. Which we have, and the hope's okay because that's what he's talking about. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. What? Both sure and steadfast. You see, this anchor, seeing that it has gripped the bottom, it's there. The analogy is, thus the boat's going nowhere. It's exactly where it's supposed to be. Right? Let me give you a little story. Years ago, Roy Jr. took me and another fellow he worked with at AEP at the time on a fishing trip. And we float fished from the falls at Narrows all the way down to Glenland. And we come by Rich Creek and went on the right-hand side of Rich Creek Island, and the water was like this. And the water had been up some. It had been raining a few days before. And I mean, the water was rough through there. Roy Jr. or the other fellow, I don't remember. And I was like that tall, you know. Threw the anchor out. And guess what? I was sitting right in the front of the boat. And guess what? We just kept on doing this. And I looked back, and I noticed Roy Jr. was looking at the other guy. I don't even remember his name now. And they looked over at me. And you know what? The anchor wasn't holding sure and steadfast.
Exactly.
The anchor came off the rope. And Roy Jr. just looked at me and said, "Son, hang on." And he said, "If this thing turns over, you don't worry about the fishing gear, me, you know, you swim to shore." But let me tell you something, you ain't got to worry about hanging on. You're not laying hope that you're going to make it through some trial. You're exactly where you're supposed to be because the anchor is both sure and steadfast. You are right where God Almighty ordained for you to be right at this time.
Amen.
I ain't got what I need yet. You got everything you need for this moment. And even if you're still bound by God to hope for things not yet, they will come in their time.
Yeah, exactly.
And we must believe God.
Amen.
You know what? I cannot help but believe God.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I have faith. Yeah. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I must bow down and say, I'm exactly where God Almighty wants me right now.
Amen.
You ever felt like you're stuck? Because the anchor's in place.
Yeah.
Isn't that what this says?
Yeah.
Which anchor we have, both, but he's talking about what? Of the soul. Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered. In other words, summing it up now, Christ has done made it to the end.
Yeah.
You see? Mm-hmm. He's done where we hope to be, but not just wish to be. Because we have reason to expect to get there because our forerunner's done been there and is there now expecting till we get there. In other words, this trip we're on is God's trip. And we believe Him for it. We are able by faith to touch what you can't even touch. Now let me tie this in with present events. Because you knew I had to say. Joe had to say something about it, and I do too. Because it's almost impossible not to say something about the recent events with the school shooting. I mean, I didn't see it happen. I seen the reports of what had happened. I heard a couple, seen a couple interviews with people, and there was one fellow there who lost his daughter, and I think she was 6 years old. And I can't imagine. You know what I'm saying? I can't imagine. I mean, my heart went out to the man.
Yeah.
And folks, I'm not a hearty guy. Hearty. Not, I'm not talking about hearty, but I'm not a hearty guy. I'm not all oozy goozy, and there's one back there can attest to that. But my heart went out to the man. And especially when he mentioned her name. Her name was Emily. And I thought, we got our Emily. And I thought, if somebody did that to one of my kids, or someone I care about, their kids, I'd want to take that man and I'd want to hurt him before he even went to hell. I'd want to hurt him for a long time before he even went to hell. Now, that is wrong because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But here's the problem. Now, I know some people won't understand this. If this tape was to get out, there'll be people who would go off, you know. But my heart went out to the... He had far more composure probably than what I would have had. And I would have said things that would have had this probably people talking for weeks, if not months, if I'd have been given an interview like that. But my heart was just, I mean, he mentioned, you know, we just mentioned Emily, and I'm thinking about Emily, and then and that little fella, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. But then he said, well, then talk about the killer. That's what he is. He's a killer. He's not just a shooter. He's a killer. He's a murderer. And he went to his own place. And please don't come to me and say, well, he might have been one of God's. No, those who have faith die in faith. They don't die murdering women and children. This is not play games. Election manifests itself in time through a conversion to Christ, not through murdering people when you go out and shoot yourself in the head. The man went to hell, and that's just the way it is. But I heard that father, and then he said, well, even he had free agency, and God gave us free agency. And he said, God can't take that away from us. And then my heart sunk even further. Because people just don't get it. You know? Not only that, I still walk over the neck this morning and turn on the TV again. And of course, there it is again. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be there. But I'm saying, there it is again. And it was a replay from Huckabee. Y'all probably know who he is. The one who ran for president or whatever years back. And he's interviewing some other guy who went through, I think his daughter died in the Columbine shooting. And here's what he said. Well, we have a free will. He said, but I know that 99% of the people on the earth use their free will for love and compassion. And I'm thinking, would you quit lying?
Exactly.
Now, you say you got free will, okay? But that you want to say 99% of free will is good? That would mean 99% of people would be Christians.
Yeah.
Would it not?
Yeah.
Do you see the ignorance of such things?
Exactly.
Why? Because people don't know the God of glory.
Amen.
Exactly. They don't get it. Let me tell you something. We're a depraved people this world. And if it wasn't for the restraint of God Almighty, we would all be like the beast of the earth and we would turn on one another in a heartbeat.
Right.
And all these talking heads in the news are talking about that guy that done this killing. Let me tell you something, apart from the restraint of God, that's me.
Exactly.
Now I know with me saying that, now y'all are supposed to call the psychiatrist for me. Did you know that?
Okay.
But let me tell you something. That's what I am by nature.
Exactly.
That's what we are by nature. And apart from the restraining power of God Almighty, as a matter of fact, Paul puts it this way. There are some who are worse. They're like natural brute beasts.
Exactly.
Worthy to be taken out and what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Destroyed.
Exactly.
Destroyed. But let me tell you something. Faith, no matter what circumstance comes about, says God Almighty is doing His will among the armies of heaven and who? And the inhabitants, every one of them, among all the inhabitants of the earth.
Amen.
And what else? And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what do you do? Because that's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. But what? We have what? Fled. And let me tell you something. That's what I want everyone here this morning. Have you really fled? Because you flee for refuge. A lot of people want to lay hold of refuge, but they don't want to flee from anything. Huh? Now what you talking about? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Talk about fleeing from sin. How about fleeing from hatred of God, hatred for your fellow man, fleeing from all things that are unrighteous and unjust? That's what I'm talking about. Flee from it.
Yeah.
Are you ever going to get there? Not until the end.
That's right.
But you still flee. You still see the whole thing is flee. We what? Have fled. What? For refuge. To lay hold of the hope that is set before us. So faith touches the intangible. And I'll have to close with this. Faith thus lays hold of God's words and His promises. Now let me just read that one. I'll make a statement or two about that. Turn to John chapter 8. Let me get to it here. And this is familiar. John 8, verse 30. And I just used it because it's just... Most people think, if you believe, you're a Christian, right? In other words, you either have a believer or a person who refuses to believe. Where there's some people who believe, but don't believe.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Look what it says. Verse 30. As he spake these words, that's the preceding words, many did what? They believed on him. Now the thing is, usually when I see that happen, boy, I'm...
Yeah,
that's real. Thank God.
Yeah.
Is that what Christ did?
No.
One thing, he can see into the heart. He knows whether this believing is the gift of God or something man has worked up within himself or herself.
Right.
He knows. But look what it says. Then said Jesus... What? To those Jews which believed on him.
Yeah.
What did he say? All right. Uh-huh. You believe. See, they believed on him. It's like, okay, I got this. I lay hold of this.
Yeah.
I believe it, right? And what did he say? If you continue in my word.
Amen. Yeah.
Then. Or the then's put in there, but it still didn't hurt it. If you continue in my word, are ye my disciples indeed?
That's it.
That, is that what it says? Now, it don't say if you're at the end in my word.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, see, this is what, you got all these religions, or these religious people profess to be Christians. They believe you can get saved and get lost.
Oh,
get
yeah.
saved again and get lost. The scripture does not teach this.
Exactly.
It teaches once God puts you in it, you're in it for the long haul. You're in it for the end. Those who can get in and out and in and out and in and out ain't never really been in. They are apostate. And there's a lot I can say about apostates. You know basically what about apostate? One thing Peter said? Well, of course, Paul said, I believe it was Paul, said it's impossible for them to be renewed.
Exactly.
Therefore, should I even put an effort for it? Huh? If it's impossible for them to be renewed again to repentance, should I even make an effort at it? No.
That's it.
And what did Peter say about them? He said, once they've heard it, they've responded to this, it's better for that. It's better that they have not heard the word.
Exactly.
Than after they've heard it to turn from the holy commandment. They're like the dog and the pig. They've turned back. And you know what the scriptures basically teach you? Let them alone. Well, I just need to forgive them. No, let them alone. We're not talking about just an unbeliever. We're talking about an apostate.
That's it.
Let them alone.
Yeah.
They went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would have hung around, like Henry Mann said. But they went out from us so it might be made mad. They want it make, I'm not a part of that group of people.
Exactly.
Now, when a person does that, they're an apostate. And you know what? Let them go. I don't care who it is.
Exactly.
I don't care who it is. Now, let me get back to this. If you continue in my word, then you really got it. Isn't that what he says? Then are you my disciples indeed. And look, and ye shall know what?
Yeah.
The truth.
Yeah.
Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying. But if a person doesn't know the truth, then they're not a disciple indeed.
Exactly.
Well, but they don't have to hear the truth. I mean, God can regenerate them. No, God does regenerate them apart from any knowledge of the truth. But once he does regenerate them, what? They will then begin to what? Know the truth.
Amen.
And it will what? And the truth shall make you free. Now, you know, I've often thought of that. When I read that thought, set you free. And that word make right there is going to be important here later on when we get to where we talk about faith being imputed.
Yeah.
And the word shall what? Not just set you free. Not just, Paul of y'all, and not just pretend you're free.
Exactly.
Huh? And as old Don Fortner said, he's got a message that I'm still listening to. He didn't just put a post-it head and say, put up here to say free. No. And the truth shall what? Make you free.
Amen.
What's that mean? Lord willing, we'll look at that later. And then they answered him, what? We be Abraham's seed, and basically we always been free.
Yeah.
Now this is exactly what I was talking about when I said, that fella, I feel for him. I feel for every one of those people.
Yeah.
I would be so angry, Mason. I hope I could keep my anger in check. But then, I don't care who you are, you get up and you lie on God Almighty, you're a liar. I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's me. A lie on God is a lie on God. I don't care if you just lost your whole family. I don't care if you just lost your wife or your husband and every child you have. I don't care if you've lost your parents. If you lie on God, you're a liar. I don't care what kind of emotional toll you're under. David, a lie on God's a lie on God. And it's when we're in deep distress, ought to be one of the times we're more willing to tell the truth.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? Oftentimes that's what God does to his people. To bring trouble on us, to force us to tell the truth about him in spite of ourselves. You know what he does?
Yes, sir.
Tell the truth about him. Why? Because we rest on his word. Now, here's what somebody said, if you continue in why continue in the Ten Commandments? Is that what he's talking about? Well, the problem is you didn't start in the Ten Commandments. You can't continue in them.
Exactly.
You don't continue in something you didn't start in.
Exactly.
Right? Isn't that what Paul said? We didn't start with the commandments. Right? Galatians, what is it? Chapter 3, isn't it? Or is it 2? Let me look here. 3. Somebody said, well, I continue in the commandments. First of all, you didn't start it. You know? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should what? Not obey what? The truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. What's he talking about? That they were there at Jerusalem when he died? No. Somebody's preached the gospel to you about Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yeah.
Look, this only would I learn of you.
Yeah.
In other words, answer me one question.
That's it.
Because unless you can get this right, we got no reason to go any further.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Received ye the Spirit by the what? The works of the law. Or what? Or by the... Now, I want you to notice that next phrase. Or by the hearing of faith. Not hearing about faith, but by the hearing of faith.
Yeah.
Remember what I said when we started this? Faith has a hearing ear, seeing eye, and a perceiving heart. The hearing must be there as it is first. You see that? That's why our Lord said, he that hath an ear to hear, what? Let him hear. Now most people think, well, I heard about faith and I believed in the Lord. That's not what that said. In other words, Christ was set forth, crucified among you, what? And you heard it, not just this way. You heard it in here. Now, which way did you start? Did you start with that? Did you start with the work of God, or did you start with your own?
That's it.
Now, I say this to every person here. If you decided that all of a sudden you believed like we did, and you were just going to join up with us, you're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. But if God Almighty laid hold of your heart, mind, and soul first, and give you eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to perceive, and you could not help yourself from believing the truth of God, yeah, then God gave you faith.
Amen. That's right.
I don't care how much you believe like we do.
Yeah.
The devil believes like we do.
Yes, sir.
He probably knows some of this stuff, Mason, better than I do.
Yeah.
I figure he probably does. He probably knows doctrine a whole lot stronger and straighter than I do. But that's not the point.
Exactly.
It's by the hearing of what? Faith. You see, there has to be a conversion.
Yes.
There has to be that which happens to you by the work of God Almighty, where you run, you flee for refuge.
Amen.
And you lay hold of something.
Yeah.
What? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And I don't, as I said before, I don't say that. There are people that say, well, you're just excluding so many people. I can't exclude a soul.
Exactly.
But let me tell you something. God Almighty's excluded a bunch of people.
Exactly. Amen.
And he has purposed and he has promised and swore with an oath that his people can know you're one of mine.
Amen.
You can know that. Mm-hmm. Are you always going to feel that? There's not talking about, you can always know that. Why? Because God Almighty said so. And if God Almighty opens your eyes,
yeah,
you see, the point, a blind person, only a blind person can relate to what it means to not be able to see and all of a sudden
see.
To see.
Exactly.
You could talk to a seeing person all day long. Mm-hmm. Let me try to illustrate that. I know I went over a little bit. Let me try to illustrate that. Before I got my first set of glasses, I knew my eyes were bad.
Yeah.
I wasn't even blind, David. I was just going that way. When I look at you right now, you're a blur. I put these on, and guess what? I see. But the point was, until I put those glasses on that first time, David, I didn't realize how bad my eyes really were.
Yeah.
Until I put those glasses on for the first time, then I realized, you know, that's not just a dirty spot out there. I remember Earl one time talking about, I don't know if it's him or somebody, thought there was dirt in the middle of his Bible, but he realized it was sin and references. Something like that. You remember that?
Yeah.
They thought it was some kind of smudge or something in the middle of his Bible. It was references in there. Well, let me tell you something. If you're blind, if you're dead, and God gives you sight, God gives you life, you're going to know that.
Exactly.
If you're blind and all of a sudden you start to see, bless God, you're going to know one thing. Is he a sinner? Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, wherein I once was blind, bless God, what? Now I see. And what happened? Then he started to know who Jesus was for sure. Didn't he? Because what? Jesus wouldn't let him stay there, would he? Jesus went and found him. After everybody else had cast him out, Jesus went back and looked him up. And he said, "Well," he said, "do you know the Lord?" It's basically what I asked him. He said, "Well, who is he?" He said, "It's the one that speaks to you." Uh-huh. You see, that's what he does for his people.
Amen.
All I can say is believe it.
Yes.
Rest in it. Thank God for it.
Amen.
And praise him for it. Father, be with us all as we go our separate ways. And Lord, we realize that we live in a world, in a country, in a society that's bent toward evil, that looks for answers. But Lord, they refuse. They refuse and they will not have your truth. But Lord, bow us to this because we know this is just the way it is. And we'll have to give you the praise and the honor because it's due you. In Christ's name, amen.